with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and we're all excited about that. Hi, welcome to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are glad to have you with us here on WMIE 91.5, Today's Modern Worship, for the next half hour, as we are discussing God's Word, specifically the fact that God, from the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. So we talked about that. Now we're looking at, well, how does God lead us? And over the next couple of days, we're going to be talking, today and then Monday, we're going to be talking about some other aspects about that from the book of Isaiah. Specifically, today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61, if you wanted to get a head start on turning over there. But while you are doing that, I want to recommend to you today Weyrich Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have any air conditioning needs, heating needs, electrical issues that you need resolved, give them a call. They are experts in their field. They can get you taken care of. They are believers in Jesus Christ. Dennis actually has done some fill-in preaching, and Carla is a blessing to the body of Christ as well. And if you need somebody to come look at your issues, treat you well in a professional manner, give them a call. They will come out, analyze the situation, give you the options that you have to look at there. Many times they've got the parts right there on the truck. They can get you fixed up before you even know they've gotten started. So give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So my daughter is off to a conference this weekend, a women's leadership conference, and very excited about all of the doors that God is opening up for her. And, you know, we don't just invest in our daughters. We invest in the people at Merit Assembly of God. We realize that our church is better when our people are better, when they're stronger, when they know God more. And so when it comes time for men's conference like we've got coming up here in May, we will be taking our men that want to go to the conference. We will be taking them. We'll be driving back and forth more than likely, but we invest in our women during the women's conference. We've sponsored our kids to youth camp and youth convention, and then our teachers, our leaders, we send them to the experience conference. We know that the church is better when its people are better. And so, you know, people who say, well, the church is just always about taking, 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 you know, well, you don't know Merit Assembly of God then, because Merit Assembly of God is about not only being blessed, but being a blessing. And so we're excited that she's getting to take part in this conference and whatever God is going to do in her and through her over the coming weeks, months, and years. We are very, very, one of my daughters does our children's church on Sunday morning. She graduated from Southeastern University, which is the Bible. It's a Assembly of God college, but she graduated as a business major. My other daughter graduated from Southeastern University with a biology major. And whenever you go to school there, you pretty much qualify for a Bible minor in whatever classes you're going through. And so I've got one daughter does children's ministry, one daughter does youth ministry. They do our video announcements on Sunday morning, trying to keep their father young and up to date, and help us with our technological issues and all of that sort of fun stuff. I'm blessed with three wonderful kids and a wonderful daughter-in-law, a couple of grandkids that are absolutely adorable and marvelous to be around, and the most fantastic wife that you could ask for. She is a blessing more than she ever knows. And so I'm a blessed guy. So let's talk about the Word of God for a while. Now that I bragged on my family, let me take you to the Word of God and the God that made all that wonderful family possible. Isaiah chapter 61, very famous passage of Scripture. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden grows, or causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So let's take a look at verse number 8, where we're going to focus on. It says, "Therefore, I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant." Now, before we get into dissecting that verse and seeing how God leads us through that, I want you to realize that this is the passage that Jesus opened the scroll to as he was presented the scroll to read in the synagogue. And after he read this passage, he rolled the scroll up, he handed it to the attendant, and he said to them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It's a fulfilled thing. It's a done deal. And as we look at that, we come down to verse number 8, and we see, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work and will make with them an everlasting covenant." So Jesus said everything that needs to be done for this to manifest has already been taken. It's already taken place. So when we start talking about the things that God will give us that are good for those things that are painful and those things are bad, he says, "I'm going to give you something good." This day, that scripture is fulfilled. They shall rebuild that which is old. They shall raise up that which is desolate. They shall repair that which is broken and that which is desolate for many generations. It's a done deal. Jesus said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Everything that needs to take place for that to be manifest has come to pass. He says, "You are going to be so blessed that you're going to realize the value of doing spiritual work, and yet there's still other work that needs to be done, but you're going to be so focused on being a priest for me that you're going to have employees who will take care of the things that you don't have time to take care of anymore." That's a blessing. God says everything is already fulfilled that needs to come to pass for that. He says, "For you shall be named the priests of the Lord." And then he comes to verse number 8, and he tells us why. He tells us why. He says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." You see, we live in a day and time. I remember having a missionary that came through, and he said, "My generation is seriously concerned about injustice." And that's a word that I don't remember hearing a whole lot about when I was growing up, but you hear quite a bit now. The problem is that this, you have to define what justice is. And justice is that which is just, that which is right. And the Bible tells us that all heaven is going to pronounce that God is righteous and true in all of his judgments. He's just, he's righteous, he is justice. He is the lawgiver, he is the law enforcer, he is the one who is knows the word of God better than anyone else. Anything in all of God's creation, God knows the word. He knows every thought, every intent that we've had. He knows the things that go on in our heart. He knows the reasons why we've done it. God is fully aware. You're not going to be, I'm not going to be able to be, no one is going to be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. He says, "Here's my attitude towards justice. I love it." So when someone asks the question, "Well, where is God when this happens? And where is God when that happens?" I want to take you to the real nuts and bolts of the issue, and that is that it is an attack on the justice of God. And this verse says, God loves justice. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." You don't have to worry about getting even. You don't have to worry about the scales of justice. We live in a very corrupt time, in a very corrupt society. You see headlines about what people with money are able to do versus people who don't have money, people with power who, as opposed to people who don't. And so we live in a very unjust period of time because people are using things that not everyone has available to them. But I've got good news for you today, and that is all of us have an availability to God. God wants us. Now, I believe that it's very important for us to be reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ because not everybody's heard about him yet. He's available, they just haven't heard about it. When I was in Texas, Texas has a holiday that they celebrate called Juneteenth. Juneteenth. And that was the day that Texas heard about the Emancipation Proclamation, that all of the slaves had been freed. Up until that point in time, the proclamation had already been made. They were just unaware of it. So the day that that message reached Texas, that was a day of celebration and a day of rejoicing. So we have many people who are in spiritual bondage, and they don't realize that Jesus has declared from the cross, "It is finished. Everything has been done that needs to be done. We just need to believe and receive and watch what God will work on our behalf." Now, does this mean that there is not injustice in the world? No, I just told you there are people with power, there are people with connections, there are people with financial resources, and many times they will use those things, I mean, in an unjust manner. People will lie, people will cheat, people will steal, people will manipulate, and yet in all of that, God says, "Don't worry about it. I'm just. I'm just." I don't remember who it was that said this, but they made a statement that says, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You see, there's nobody going to be able to buy their way into heaven. Nobody that's going to be able to sweet talk themselves into heaven. There's no one going to get into heaven any other way than by the name of Jesus, by Jesus being the Lord of our lives. He says, I love justice, and I hate robbery for burnt offerings. God despises one person who would take advantage of another person. So you can see that when Jesus was turning over the tables in the temple area, that what he was doing was he was saying, look, you all are making a mockery. My house was to be a house of prayer for all. And you've made it a den of thieves. You are robbing. You are taking advantage of people who needed to sell their farm animals, their offerings. They needed to sell it where they were at, so when they got to Jerusalem, they could buy more. And so they would get paid less where they sold it and have to pay more when they got here. It was a burden on them. And God says, I'm just. Don't worry about it. The things that I hate, I'm going to deal with. In Proverbs, it talks about the seven deadly sins. And the thing about it is, God says he hates them. Now, when God says he hates something, I need to hate that. It's not a hard decision. God hates it for a reason. And it's because that this is a direct assault on his justice. But you and I can rest assured that God keeps very accurate records. And there will be a day of reckoning that comes. And if there's been anything that's stolen, the Old Testament said that anything that was stolen was going to be restored multiple times over. And so I've got good news for you. If someone has used their power, their resources, their connections in an unjust manner against you, don't let that embitter you. God is going to make sure that you are more than compensated for any injustice that has been done to you. Now, let's look at the leadership. How does God lead in this passage? He says, I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Did you realize that God is actually leading you through your employment? There are some alternative translations to this. It says that I will give them their wages in truth. It's going to be an honest paycheck. I don't know about you, but if there's an error made on a paycheck, you want that corrected very quickly. At least I always did. I wanted to know, hey, what's going on? I had a situation one time with a family member who someone was trying to deal with them in a manner with their paycheck that wasn't right. And so I went and I had a meeting with them, and we discussed the realities. Now you probably heard my rules. If you want to see my demeanor change, my personality change, you just got to do one of four things. I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky, easygoing guy, but I'm driven. But I've got four areas of responsibility that I take very seriously, and that is, first of all, you don't mess with my wife. Second, don't mess with my kids. Third, don't mess with my church. And the fourth one I added several years ago, and that is, don't mess with my pastor. I am not going to be an idle spectator if someone is assaulting the shepherd who's watching over my soul. Just not going to do it. So I went in and I had a conversation, and I wasn't mean. I wasn't nasty. I was just matter of fact. And after the meeting was over, someone said, I thought he was a pastor. Now, I didn't use any bad language. I didn't lose my temper. I didn't yell. I didn't scream. I didn't pound on the desk or anything like that. I just said, look, this is an area that you are messing with someone very near and dear to me, and I am their covering. And so we just, does this person ever have a history of this? No, they don't. Did they tell you that they did everything right this time? Yes, they did. Okay, so what is the problem? That was basically the conversation, the way that it went. Do you think that God's going to deal that way? Because I do. I think that God is going to make sure that everyone gets the wages that they deserve. He is our exceeding great reward. Okay? Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus, I need you to understand that he is just as accurate in making sure that your paycheck is right in that area as he is as if it's good. He's going to be faithful to reward, and he is going to be faithful to correct. And that is, the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you want to make sure that God guides you to the appropriate eternal reward that he has set aside for you? Because I do. Listen, I don't want to miss heaven for the world. There are a lot of things that the world tries to dangle in front of me, but none of it compares to the goodness and the greatness of God. So God's going to make sure that you're compensated accurately. But I will tell you this, God has guided me in my work for 40 years. It's been absolutely wonderful. Now, the thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get upset. You don't want to get the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. You don't want to just up and quit and burn all your bridges, because God will lead you in your field of work. I was delivering flowers after Bible college when I got an invitation to go to Illinois and serve as a youth pastor. It was there that I met my wife, and after I moved back to Oklahoma, we got married a few months later, and I was, let's see, what was I doing? I was looking for a job. I was sending out resumes all over the place. I was doing some driving, and I had worked, I think I'd worked in an RV dealership for a while, did all sorts of things. And then one day after my wife and I got married, now she's prettier than I am. She moved down here. She had no problem getting a job. I was having a real difficult time getting a job. And after we got married, I was about 2 weeks away from the rent being due, and went to church that night. And the youth pastor said, "Hey, what do you need for us to pray about?" And I said, "I need a job." And we prayed that night. And the next day was my parents' wedding anniversary. And so I can tell you, you know, exactly the date. I can tell you the exact room we were at the church and everything. The next day I walked into the mall. We were having a gift engraved for my parents. And my brother had to leave. My sister had to leave. My wife and I were there. And we said, we'll wait. And a person came out of the mall, out of their store, and said, "Do you still need a job?" I hadn't applied there. I didn't even know he worked there. Said, "Do you still need a job?" I said, "Yes, I do." The next day, I had a job. So on Wednesday night, I was praying. On Friday, I had a job. I started work on Saturday. And God was right on time. That job got me another job. And that company that I went to work for ended up being the company, to make a long story short, that company transferred me to Texas. That company transferred me to Florida. And that is how I came to Melbourne, Florida, because God was using my work. And I during all that time, my wife was fasting and praying during that last transition, the transition that brought us to Florida. She was praying because I was missing out on my home life. I was having to drive 81 miles each way to work. I was missing seeing my son grow up. I was basically working 6 days a week and going to church on Sunday. And She's like, God, this isn't your plan. You've got something else. And we said, God, we will go wherever you want us to go, but we're here to serve you. You've got to open up a door of ministry. And to cut some more time off of the story, that career that I had, even though it paid horrible, ended up being the reason why the district asked me to pastor Emeritus Assembly of God. Today, some of you may feel like God has set you up on a shelf and he's forgot about you, but I will tell you that he is going to lead you in your work. He's going to lead you in your career, and he is going to lead you in truth. That word truth means he's going to lead you with stability. He will lead you with certainty. He will lead you with trustworthiness. He is faithful to lead you. And all of that is going to lead you to an eternal covenant with God that is not only going to be recognized in your life, but Isaiah 61 says it's going to be recognized in your descendants from here on out. They are going to see they are the blessed of the Lord. There are a lot of times that we think that unless we're doing something, unless we're preaching, unless we're teaching a class, unless we're leading worship, that there's not ministry that needs to be done. Listen, ministry is a lot broader than that. Very little, a very small percentage of what I do is standing behind a pulpit. In all honesty, standing behind the pulpit is the fun part. There's a lot of parts of the ministry that people don't see that aren't nearly as much fun. It's those things that turned my hair gray, but we're thankful it's still there. But I can tell you this, I don't question God's leadership. You know, when I was sending out 200 resumes and I was saying, God, you're the God who called me. I need a door. And I will tell you what, he was faithful because he is the door. If you're not actively serving right now, I encourage you, come to Jesus and say, how can I serve you today? And he's going to say, take care of my sheep, feed my lambs. God is a God of justice. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Precious jewel, Lord, to give up.